We are going to read the scripture, Micah 6:6-8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves and a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love, kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
What does God require? What does God require? Micah was preaching at about the same time as Isaiah. On the one hand, Isaiah was a wealthy Jerusalemite. He came from a good family. While Micah was probably a peasant farmer from the land of the Philistines, brought up very differently, and he saw things differently than the other prophets. And this one little passage speaks to me almost more than any other in the Old Testament. You see, they both brought a cleansing message to Israel. But Micah spoke for the poor because he was of the poor. If we claim to proclaim for God, I like that. If we claim to proclaim for God, we must always be on the side of the poor. If we speak for God, we must speak for the poor. Our food pantry and soup kitchen ministries speak to that so well. And I found out something about our food pantry ministry that I didn't know, is that Bobby and the others, they find out about the lives of our clients. And they will find that one client, a gentleman, he really can't afford to pay for razors. So when they get to the food bank, they make sure that they can get some razors and bring for him. There are others who need other special things, and they find out what each client needs, and they fill that need. Wow. It's not just taking a can of soup, box of crackers, boxing it up and giving it to some unnamed soul. These are people that they care about dearly. Micah asked the question, is our show of religiosity enough? Is it enough? If we sacrifice 1,000 rams, if we pour rivers of oil, if we bring offerings, if we even sacrifice our firstborn, can you imagine that? They were living in the latter part of time of sacrifice, of human sacrifice. When Abraham thought God was telling him to sacrifice his son Isaac, it wasn't a strange request to him. But would that do? Micah asked. Is it even enough to come and be a part of a religious community? Is what we do here within these walls enough? No. So as people who attempt to do God's will, what is required of us? Micah states it as plainly as it can be stated. We are to do justice. We are to do justice. You notice that's a verb. We are to do justice. All the different theories of justice. You know, there is reparative justice, which seeks to make people whole. There's punitive justice, which seeks to punish the evildoer. But all of them have the same one common element, and that's fairness. What is fair under any circumstance can be called the just solution. Question. Is our jurisprudence system in America, it's sort of like, who was the founder that said that democracy is a terrible system except for all the rest? Is our jurisprudence system in America, is a rich man more likely to receive a favorable outcome, or is a poor man? It's the system, isn't it? Who can a rich man hire? The best attorney there is. Sometimes even the there is more involved. Do you remember? The only heads of companies that ever I think were sent to prison were the Enron guys. Remember that? They finally got some of them. But in this last economic meltdown that was the result of corporate malfeasance on a scale that has yet to be seen, there was one minor officer in a bank that received prison time. That is why we, the church, must always be advocates for the poor. Because they may have no other advocates. Micah then states that in addition to doing justice, that we must love kindness. This makes justice tempered with mercy, does it not? Our symbol of justice in America, what is it? Remember the lady? She's standing there, got the scales. What she had? She's blindfolded. Listen to this. Sometimes as a people of faith, we take the blindfold off so that we can see both the just and the compassionate thing to do. In Jesus' time, legal justice called for the woman taken in adultery to be stoned. That was the law. Jesus stepped in and mercy resulted. We in the church are called to advocate for a system that comprises both fairness and compassion. Finally, Micah adds the capstone to what is required of us. We are to do justice, we are to love kindness, and we are to walk humbly with God. In other words, we are not to let human pride get in the way of just and merciful decisions. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Even on the scale that you and I make decisions, sometimes our ego and our pride gets a hold of us and will not let us do the right thing. Has that ever happened to you? If you do not raise your hand, you're lying. That's never happened. No, that's part of what makes us human, isn't it? That ego and pride that is built in, that we must always keep in check. If we are to be just and merciful, we don't let pride and arrogance define our position. If we are going to be just and merciful, we attempt to walk in the other's shoes to fully understand. We seek to really find out, how is it with you? How did you wind up in this situation? And then if we are to be truly just and merciful in our decision making, we prayerfully seek guidance in our decisions. God, are you really sure this is what you want me to do in this situation? Fast forward about 700 years. There's an itinerant preacher. He is without a shekel to his name. He's roaming the countryside, preaching and healing and causing disruption. He's a gadfly to the establishment. They need to do something about him. He's getting out of control, out of hand. When asked what the most important commandment was, he told them simply, love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amplifying what those prophets had said 700 years before, and the world was changed. Amen.